Katie Morley here, the Telegraph's financial agony aunt. Just popping up to tell you my new podcast, Money Confidential, is out now. I'm going to play you the first 5 minutes of episode one, and if you like it, you can find the whole thing by searching Money Confidential in your favourite podcast app. Should be that one, shouldn't it? On a damp and windy March day, I knock on the door of a southwest London terraced house. It doesn't belong to a 20-something graduate, but to Mark.
Come through.
Not his real name.
You're Katie?
Yes, that's right.
A 60-something retired IT professional. He's welcoming and obviously very house proud, keen to give us a tour.
When I was living here, it was my office.
So will this be your office when you move back in?
No, because I'm moving back my...
Mark doesn't live here. Yet. He rents this house out to a tenant and lives in Devon with his partner. But soon... he's leaving his life in Devon to live alone in London. Why? Last summer, his adult daughter moved back into the family home with her partner and three children in tow. 9 months later, he's had enough and is off. Welcome to Money Confidential with me, Katie Morley. As the Telegraph's financial agony aunt, I'm hitting the road to hear directly from you. Is it wrong to take your children out of school for a cheaper holiday? Is it fair for your richer siblings to go on a ski trip and leave you behind? Are private schools even worth it? This is the podcast where we discuss everyday money problems affecting your life and relationships. Real people, real problems, real talk. Each episode, I'm also joined by a financial expert in their field to help solve these dilemmas, as well as a Telegraph columnist offering their tuppence. Today, we tackle adult children living at home. Reports suggest there's up to 5 million of them in Britain, with a grown-up child living in 20% of households, and that figure is rising. As the housing market becomes more unaffordable, many adults are not only relying on the bank of mum and dad, but the house of mum and dad, and for some it's proved an absolute godsend. But for others, navigating the financial dynamic that comes with the house of mum and dad, like how to pay rent or split bills, can lead to some toe-curling conversations and cause tension affecting the whole family. Enter Mark, whose daughter returned to the roost last August. He starts by listing off all the people and animals living under one roof.
Four adults. Three children, two dogs, and one bearded dragon.
Gosh, so you're very tight on space then, aren't you?
Correct, yes. What's happened now is because the kids have moved back. I've lost my office, I've got the kids in the garage, converted into another bedroom as well, so everyone's got their own space. But we're in each other's pockets the whole time. I had no problem being the bank of mum and dad, looking after the grandkids, looking after this, all that stuff. But now I've got to the stage where they're living on top of it. There is no break. And I'm uncomfortable there because, I have no more space. And all my office stuff is now in the bedroom. They were meant to be here for 6 months, maybe a year. They moved in July. And come Christmas, there was no sign of them even looking for anywhere else. It's now April, May time almost, and I think, they're still not even looking.
Mark explains how debt has held his daughter back from being able to get on the property ladder.
We've had our daughter move into a house several times. To be fair, we've made this road for our own backs because we've constantly just pulled her out of debt. And I think more of it is, I hate to use this word snowflake, but it's that generation. I just think my father's generation were the last people that you could actually think, they will go to war for this country, I did, I think, 2.5 years in the TA, and I would have gone to war for this country at that time, But I think the generation below us, I don't know whether they would be that driven to actually make all these sacrifices.
I asked Mark to explain the domestic situation.
Very cushy.
Are they paying rent? Are they contributing to bills?
They're supposed to be, but I've not seen any.
How did you decide on the rate and how to enforce it or not enforce it? Did you sort of sit them down and say, this is the deal? Or
I did. I sort of said, you've got to turn around and actually pay some towards it. But they said, yeah, absolutely, we'll sort something out. But before we do that, can we get the Disney Channel, please, on the Sky? And I thought, yeah, OK. So there's an extra bit on the Sky for the kids. Or can we get sports now as well? I can't stand sports, but the partner does. And suddenly our internet bills and our Sky bills have gone from £70 a month to £115, I think it's a month. As I said, if it was just the bank of mum and dad, we could see the kids on our pace or whatever, I'd be quite happy to be there still, you know? I could put up with the fact that I've got to get taxi in or whatever to do the stuff, because that's my forever home, you know? But that's not going to happen, unfortunately. It's just, now they've moved in, they will never move out, I think. And even if they do move...
Do you think they'll be there for the rest of their days?
I can't see how they'll ever be in a position to afford to rent. When they first were asked to leave their property, my partner and I decided we would help them look for a property and we would stand as guarantors for a property for them to rent. But for every single one that came, I've been with ones I thought, they're really good, that'll do. I said, I don't like it, it wouldn't work for this, it wouldn't work for that, there's not enough space here, there's not enough space there. And I thought, well, what does it want? We were even looking up to prices that were about £2,500 a month, because they wanted four bedrooms, and that was a really good deal for somewhere in Britain. £2,500 a month would just get you a two-bedroom place in London, yeah? But there you'd get a four-bedroom place with a garage and with some land, yeah?
And do you think that they were sort of making excuses that they actually didn't want to go out on their own, they wanted to remain in your house?
I think they saw that as an easy option. Their speech to me was, you know what, we'll never be in a position to own, so let us, unless we save, because we're paying rent, it's dead money, let's move back with you guys, and then we'll be able to save. I don't know how much they've saved in the 6-9 months they've been there, but they do have new iPhones.
Do you think that they'll miss you?
I hope not. In the sense that I think they'll be much happier when I'm not there, because they just see me as a grumpy old man at the moment, you know. Whereas if I come back every 5 weeks, 6 weeks, I'll then have much more quality time. Yeah, I don't need to be with them 24/7. Yeah, they don't need me there 24/7 either. I am so happy about the move. I came over last night to stay with some friends around the corner, and they're really happy about moving back. So I'm looking forward to get a new car. I'm looking forward to moving back, going down to the pub with my dog in my hand and reading my books.
Thanks for listening to that preview of the first episode of Money Confidential. Real people, real problems, real talk. Make sure you search for Money Confidential in your favourite podcast app and press follow so you don't miss an episode. New episodes every Wednesday.